The fourth mansion, mystical ascension, and entering the cosmic interior of the soul. Teresa, in her own words, describes the mystical experience, the effect of the divine penetrating her soul in the fourth mansion. These are her words. For apparently, as this heavenly water begins to flow from the source of which I am speaking, that is, from our very depths, it proceeds to spread within us and cause an interior dilation and produce ineffable blessings, so that the soul itself cannot understand all that it receives there. The fragrance it experiences, we might say, is as if in those interior depths there were a brazier on which were cast sweet perfumes. The light cannot be seen, nor the place where it dwells, but the fragrant smoke and the heat penetrates the entire soul. And very often, as I have said, the effects extend even to the body. Entering into the fourth mansion marks your ascension into a higher state of consciousness. When Teresa would use a different state of consciousness as a phrase, she did not mean it the way we use it, which is almost as a health spa phrase. That is hardly what she meant. She meant that God came for you and brought you into a place of such great interior depth that you cannot find that by yourself. The prayer of entry. I cross the bridge into the silent bliss of my interior castle. I close the drawbridge and forbid all outside influences from entry into this holy place that is my soul, here in my castle, here in my fourth mansion. I am alone with God. Under God's light and companionship, I discover the depth and beauty of my soul. I embrace the power of prayer. I open myself to divine guidance. I surrender myself to become as a channel for grace, healing, and service as God directs my life. I am a channel for grace. The fourth mansion begins a journey, your journey, into your relationship with the divine in such a profoundly different way that let me first distinguish the difference between your lower mansions and the higher mansions of your soul in this way. Your lower mansions are your worker bee mansions. They are the mansions in which you explore the ego's experience of who you are, of how you define life and its journey through the lens of how will I survive here, through the lens of fear, through the lens of what's mine on this earth, and how do I keep it? And what am I capable of doing to keep what's mine? The lower mansions have a theme of what can I take. The upper mansions, what can I give? And how vast can I open my soul to become a channel for what I can give? It's in the fourth mansion that love and the power of love becomes the appropriate force. What is love? What is love? In the fourth mansion, the ascension into this power becomes an ascension, a transition from personal love to mystical love, to the mystery of the power of love. That is what mystical love is about. Not personal love, which is a beautiful love, to be sure. And personal love is the dynamic that is experienced in the lower mansion, where the theme and the expression of love is one of who do I love and who loves me, and of coping with the scar tissue of that experience. You were supposed to love me this way and you disappointed me. I had expectations of the way you were supposed to love me, and I had you under vows to love me that way as a matter of fact. And because you broke those vows, I am now going to get you in the courtroom. Love and its many expressions in the lower mansions takes you into your shadow and what you are capable of when personal love is disappointed. It takes you into the darkness of jealousy. It takes you into the limitations of I can only love this far, and what you will make someone do to earn your love. No, I will not approve of you, because if I do, that means I am giving you freedom to become more empowered than me, and if you think that I will love you that much, you are mistaken. How well and how deep you love is an absolute challenge for you and for every single person. It is so easy to love when you are in control. It is so easy to love those who love you back. But that type of love is but 2% of the nature of love. It is amazing to look at how fast you change that force within the instant you are disappointed, the instant you are insulted, the instant your expectations of someone are not met. This so-called endless, profound force in you shifts to a radical hatred in the blink of an eye. That is not love. You can call it many things, but I will tell you for a fact, that is not love. That is insecurity. That is a need to have someone near you because you are afraid of being alone. That is the type of love that sends those awful, awful cards that say, if you leave me, I will just die, to which I would say, then do so and get it over with. But get off my back and get out of my psychic field, because that is manipulation. That is toxicity of the worst kind. But that is not love. That is a form of the ego getting its sea legs, dealing with an emotion. Now, that is the word I want you to hear. You're dealing with an emotion, but mystical love is not an emotion. It is a force. So in the lower mansions, love is an emotion. In the transcendence, it is a force. And the ordinary individual, that which we call the spirit, the ego's relationship to the soul, is the spirit. The spirit can't contain the force of mystical love. It would implode. And so you go through the cleansing of your reptiles in the lower mansions, this arduous, rigorous journey in which you have to deal with what would make me manipulate another person Because you have to go there. You have to go through, you know what, I really am capable of some nasty tricks with other people. And I got to look at that. I really have no capacity to love unconditionally. I'm not there yet. I put big, huge conditions on how I love, who I love, when I love, and what I, here comes your operative word, expect from them. These expectations need to become extra rooms in your mansions. Maybe they're your second mansion. Maybe they're your third. They become your third mansion if you are unreasonable about how you love and what you expect from others. If love becomes an object of reason, you better have reasons why you broke my heart. Because it's not your heart they broke. They broke your law. They never came near your heart. Don't kid yourself. They broke your law. They were nowhere near your heart. If they were near your heart, you would never respond with such rage. And so you go into these mansions again and again to excavate your reptiles. But what is the purpose? The deeper purpose is to get through that, not so you can look at yourself and say, what is that shadow and this horrible shadow in me? And it is not about that. It is not about that, and it never has been. It's about getting to who you really are and what you are really capable of as a channel of love at the mystical level, as a channel of love as a force. When you look at mystics and you see what they were capable of, teachers or true spiritual masters like Jesus or Buddha, but particularly Jesus in this one case, because he is the cosmic archetype of healing. He would say to his followers, why are you looking at me like this? These and other miracles can you do? You just don't get it. This is in you, and stop looking at me. Buddha said, these and other things can you do? Do not look at me. I am a finger pointing to the moon. Do not make me your object. You are your object. You simply don't want to work this hard. But it's not just that you don't want to work this hard. It's that coming this close to the sacred in you, not God, in you is going to burn. Because to be given this kind of force without burning out your reptiles is too tempting to misuse. I remember doing a reading, a medical intuitive reading one time. I had such a profound insight. I was doing a reading and a man with his child who had cerebral palsy, he had the child in a baby carriage, and he jammed it in my leg right after a lecture, and he said, explain this. Explain my child. Explain why God would do this to my child. In other words, it was an unreasonable act, and a loving God would not do such a thing. And of course, in that moment, how would I explain something like that? And what possible reason could I give? And no definition of love at his understanding of what is love could possibly fit into this beautiful shaking child. We had no lines of communication. But in this moment, I said such a deep prayer. I said, you have got to help me. But the help did not come in a way that would make him understand, but the way that it made me understand. And in that moment, I saw that the soul contained in this body was living a life that was based on patterns of darkness from other lifetimes and patterns of light that together formed a life that required this body. It was a combination of patterns of light and darkness, and that this body served his family as well. We're interwoven in our karmas. Now, what I also realized in that moment was that if we were given the sight to understand why we are the way we are, why that body can walk and this body can't, why, for example, you could look at someone who has everything you think you want. And what if you were to read in their lifetime and see that they have a history of soul and they were a murderer, not just once, but maybe in 15, 20, 22 lifetimes. And in this lifetime, they have complete abundance. You would say, that is certainly not fair. Well, in fact, there's no fairness in that at all. That person should be, in my estimation, starving. When in fact, through a mystic's lens, where you are transcendent of this law, you'd have a lens of how better to cure greed than to give abundance. How much better than to teach someone, put them in a position where others need them. Perhaps that would be the cure. Perhaps to open up the generosity in their soul, put them in a position, not of starvation, but where others require the generosity of their heart. We can't see that yet. Because that is not seen through hatred or law. That is understood through a cosmic principle. That requires ascension to a much higher order of thought. And in order to get there, you have to scrape out of you those reptiles that demand fairness at the earth level. And your final passage, that passage point, if you stood at the door of your fourth mansion with your hands on the door pushing, I've got to get in here, I've got to get in here, banging on the door, it won't open. I promise you, it won't open. And if you said, well then, Carolyn, what? I would hand you these two scripts of wisdom. First, surrender your need for things to work out according to your sense of reason, of law and order. Surrender that. It is the source of torment and torture for you. For the world does not spin around your sense of reason, and it never will. You've been given reason as a maneuvering skill, but not to form the backbone of justice and not to condemn others. It is your skill at maneuvering through and acquiring wisdom, maneuvering through how does order work within nature, within mathematics, within the mechanisms of life. But beyond that, how to learn things, how do sentences come together? How does science work? How do we cooperate better with others? But to take that and decide, I know exactly who should be condemned because they offended me. And I will hold them accountable and put them in my dungeon. It's at that point that you have condemned yourself to years and years of suffering. So you reach to the other truth that says, that's it. I surrender this. I surrender this entire interior false reality. I don't know why the journey of my life has been set up as it has, but from this point on, I surrender it to your wisdom, to your care, and I forgive. The key to the fourth, the key to the door, is the capacity for true forgiveness. That is your first, deep, true, self-induced, mystical experience. Not mental forgiveness. Not therapeutic processing, which is more like crime solving. I must find the reason why this happened. It happened because it happened. Done. All right, that's the answer. I just saved you years of therapy. It's over. It happened. You happy? It's over. Now get on with it. Enough. Imagine you found the reason. Are you any different? Now it's 5 minutes later. You got the reason. Now who are you? You any happier? Now you're just vengeful and you got a reason in your pocket. Get on with it. Let go. Not let go emotionally. I'm talking forgiveness, which is, I see, I feel, I am going to pray for this person with the same graciousness that I pray for those I love. I release them. They are in my life for the same divine reason I am in their life, by your divine design. I accept, here's the word, the mystery of your design. I now enter into your mystery. Surrender. The key to the fourth mansion. Let's talk about mystical love. Let's talk about love as a force and enter into what the divine means by the heart of the sacred, the cosmic heart. When love is transferred into a fire, into your interior. Teresa said, do not imagine, do not think it, referring to mystical love. For this is not a quality of love that the mind can comprehend. Mystical love is a gift of grace. Just as you must prepare to receive God, you need to prepare, be open and accepting to receive mystical love. Now, she's referring to what mystics refer to is a quality of love so big, so great. And these words don't even work, but I don't have any others. I mean, that's part of the problem is that we are about to lose the capacity of our vocabulary to accommodate our journey. And at this point, like all mystics, beginning with the author of the Psalms, at some point, the experiences of the soul require metaphor. Mystical experiences require metaphor. What did you experience? And you will say to me, and you know you are on the brink or in the journey when you say, I can't describe it. It was like, and you will be off into the metaphoric because there aren't words. So when I start to say, like Teresa, it was like, Teresa chose the metaphor of water. She loved the metaphor of water. She would say it's like a spring. It's like water flowing from within. And at this point, she would say, grace can be had through prayer at all times. She said, but when you pray, grace can be sort of self-induced. in that you can build your own aqueduct, she would say. And grace would always flow, and that's a beautiful grace. And she said, and that's beautiful. But it comes from good acts. And it comes from, she would call, in my language, organic grace. The goodness that comes from doing good and being a good person. Because at some point, it kicks into your head that that's just love in action. And the cause and effect of love in action. But then at some point, you begin to be love in action. And it transcends you having to tell yourself, I really should do this. Where you have to monitor yourself by inner laws. You know, I really shouldn't say this. I really should do this. You're operating at the level of law, of good and bad, instead of having yet transcended, because you're still dealing with your reptiles. Whereas in the fourth mansion, reptiles can't go that high. She's very clear about that. They can't take the light. They can't go that high. You become love. You don't have to say to yourself, I really shouldn't do that. You're past the good and bad, the monitoring. You are into force itself. She says, in the preparation to be a vessel of mystical love, why would you have to prepare for it? Which is all your work in the lower mansions. Because it's so profoundly powerful. It alters your relationship to time and space. Many, many, many stories are told about how mystics have a different relationship to time and space. And to the ordinary mortal, this relationship looks like a phenomenon. And if you just have ordinary eyes, you will be absolutely overwhelmed, and you'll pay your money to go see such a thing, because you have no concept of what's really going on. That light coming through the soul alters your spiritual physical chemistry. It alters your relationship to time and space itself within your very cell tissue. And it's important to understand this explanation and to truly get this, because it is one of the reasons why you will sabotage your journey. Because in your spiritual gut, this is one of your fears. The fear that you have is how different this journey might make you, or how it might just shift just enough your relationship from ordinary life. And it could and it will, if in fact the depth of pursuit opened the fourth mansion. When I was doing medical readings constantly, I became very intrigued with why people didn't heal far more than why people did. And I recognized one day, and always my recognitions come in the sort of a blink of an eye, like a download, that there was an absolute direct relationship to why people held on to their histories and wouldn't let go and would not forgive. Because holding on to the past, and use the image of Jacob Marley in the Christmas Carol, holding on to cans and chains and dragging them behind you. And that each one of those is a unit of time that's coming directly out of your cell tissue. And that as your precious life force comes in you, constantly, every second, instead of being in present time, which is the goal of the mystic, to utilize your soul fully in present time, you take this precious life force and you distribute it in your past animating the dead of your history, which is what a wound is, because it serves you in some way. So that when someone says, how are you? You mention your dead before your life. You mention your wound before your health. I have been in workshops where I have listened to people introduce themselves by their wounds. I'm an incest survivor. I'm a rape victim. I'm a battered woman. That may well be true, but with all due respect, that is private. That's number one. Number two, that is hardly social currency. That is hardly something to use as a calling card. And number three, anyone who does that needs to recognize right up front they have no intention of healing that wound. But number four, that most definitely is a habit of power in which you direct your energy to your history, and that takes time from your present moment. It takes time. So that your relationship to time and space is altered in such a way that every time an opportunity comes, that your entire relationship to the present moment is based upon your relationship to how much history or time. And I want you to consider that psychic weight. So that the more weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, you have hauling behind you, the longer you have to W-A-I-T for anything. From healing to conscious understanding to anything, to your capacity to hold love in your energy. You simply can't because you're holding too much bitterness. Your choice of diet is bitterness. You let love go. And in order to heal, in order to function, those are your reptiles. They have to be cut. So the preparation is cutting this, you see. And it builds your container, and you become a container of present time. You become a strong unit where when you rise in the morning, your first thoughts are not about who did what to you yesterday, but what can I do today? How can I be of service? And in fact, you get even beyond that. And you enter into becoming a container of light, where your thought is not, who will see this container of light that I've become? And how much money can I make being a container of light in this world? I will go where I need to go. I am who I am. I will be what I am to be. Light will serve the darkness. There's a good chance that beams of light go into the darkest places, because rooms already lit hardly need another light bulb. You will go where you're sent. Or you will stay put if that's where you belong. And you will serve through that becoming a channel of mystical love. Now, to love of that quality, the heart within must shatter. Must shatter. Why? Because the personal heart, the heart that qualifies who comes in, who deserves to be healed, and who deserves to be punished, that heart has to go. It has to go. In order for that to go, you need to be betrayed. You need to be broken in two. You need to be humiliated. You need to go through all of those wretched things. And you need to get over it. And then you need to be able to see someone so compassionately who harmed you that you think that's how fragile another human being is. That's how fragile I am. Okay, I got the map. That's who we are. Then a deeper love comes in. This is when that sense of cosmic wiring begins. And then, somewhere in this process, says Teresa, God comes for you. And how those experiences begin is that you're wrapped up in what she calls spiritual sweetness. Is that beautiful or what? Spiritual sweetness. These deep sensations, these deep raptures would come upon her when she least expected them. And like these other mystics in present time, the result of being containers of light or being in present time is that they developed a profound ability to relate to light in such a way that they transcended the limitations of the form of their body and began to leave their body when God called them out and realized, oh my, it's a shell. They realized the limitations of how the five senses but contained the soul. And they began to travel, to come out with God. And God, as she said, began to share his secrets with me. And in one of those journeys in her fourth mansion, God took her into the mystical heart of the cosmos and shattered her. The very famous statue of Bernini, where you see Teresa in ecstasy and she's leaning back and an angel appeared to her and pierced her with an arrow, which she doesn't write about until the sixth mansion. But it was an experience, an apparition. And by the way, she always would say, I saw an angel today. It was not a big deal. She lived between worlds. The veils were so thin for her. They were always present. But in this apparition, her heart was simply shattered so wide, so deep, so big, that she became a container for cosmic love, for the love of the divine. In Catholic dogma, note, I'm not promoting Catholic dogma, end of note, but in Catholic dogma, from a mystical point of view, which transcends the politics of Catholicism, this is mystical. One of the most prominent icons is called the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I, myself, could never look at that icon without cringing, because it was a bleeding. It was an image of the bleeding Jesus with a bleeding heart and a crown of thorns. And I thought, no, if it simply never, ever made sense to me. And I went to Sacred Heart grade school. So the Sacred Heart imagery, and my mother has a devotion to that, and I never, ever could get this image. But I will share with you that during my Teresa time, which is what I call from the beginning of my mystical awakening through the writing of the book, which is my Teresa era, I was going to bed one night, and as I looked at the foot of the bed, in a microsecond, I saw the image of the Sacred Heart in an apparition. And it was a micro, But as I saw that, I instantly knew, felt, just became overwhelmed, or I became invited within and understood that actually it was not the Sacred Heart, but it was the heart of the sacred. And in that instant, I understood, I got it. Truly. One of the reasons you would abort your journey within your castle is because the very thought of channeling, of becoming a channel for the mystical force of love, once connected, is no longer occupational love. It's no longer optional love. It's no longer, you don't have that choice to be manipulative. It's not personal. Ergo, the need to master detachment. This is why spiritual teachers take their students and say, you must understand the need to be humble and the need to be detached. If you attach to the consequences of your actions, if when given guidance you need to have the applause or fear the criticism attached to either side of what you are directed to do, then go peel potatoes. You are so not ready for this journey. You are so not ready to be released from your castle. You must stay in the castle. You must stay and continue your work in your hermitage, because you will be crushed. You need to stay in your interior world until you can step out and enter into the role of yourself as an invisible force capable of receiving instruction, knowing that you are indeed engaged in such a force of light, but you have to be invisible. You have to. And you have to manage such humility, such silence, and such courage, operating at the level of mystical truth is high power. Big, huge power. But you have to know something. It's going to intimidate you, because there's no going home again. You cannot not love with that depth. And it will change your life, because you will be called to change the lives of others. This is true service. The silent, the interior. The deep call of the mystic out of the monastery in this world. And now we're going to go into the rooms of preparation. The rooms where you need to do your work. The rooms that you go for nurturing. The rooms that you go for prayer. I think that you can sense that this is a journey where prayer and self-reflection is not an option. It is not an option. You must go into prayer on a daily basis, but not with this sense of, I have to go do my prayers now. I remember that when I was a baby Catholic. Did you pray yet? You know. But it becomes a wondrous experience of going in and withdrawing into your castle and entering into, oh, I'm going into my altered state now. I'm going into wondrousness. I'm going into beauteous writings that say to me, something other than here has me in its clutches. I am so safe. All is well. Who wouldn't want to be wrapped in that? I am so past saying, could I have a car? Could I have more? Could I have everything I want in 3 easy steps? Even as I say that to you in this mansion, can you feel the difference? You think, get that reptile out of here. What a reptilian thought. Quick, sweep it out. In this mansion, all you want is, ooh, surround me with, what can I do for you? What can I do? Because we are now in the 4th mansion, the quality of the rooms are different. Your presence in the rooms are different. Remember that there aren't reptiles up here. You aren't going to experience the same sort of inner work. These are rooms to receive. These are rooms of expansion. These are rooms to receive a thought and take it in your soul and dwell on it. To be given an inspiration and to hold that inspiration like a piece of light and let it light within and stir your waters, as Teresa would say. What you want to observe within you is how difficult it is for you to receive, to hold a thought, to stay present, of how easily distracted you are, or have to fight falling asleep, or how easily you drift into a state of mind instead of the depth of your soul. Remember, you are going deeper and deeper. And as preparation to go in your rooms, you want to go out of your mind, not in it. You want to go away from your 5 senses, not toward them. You don't want to rely on your mind to manufacture things. Your effort is to shut down the voice. Not listen to it. You want to go deep within your interior gut to receive, to let something bubble up from within you instead of drop into your cerebral area. This will take practice. This will take devotion. This will take many, many visits to this sacred place. Don't go in there thinking, anticipating, that you're going to come out feeling mystically enlightened. As so many people have said to me, I went in there and nothing happened. This is what I said to you earlier. Expectations are a reptile. And if you find that is how you feel, then you note that in your little notebook. Here we go. I have so many expectations that I have to return to the lower mansions as soon as possible and get back to the room of expectations and note in my journal one more under expectations of God. And now, let's go into the rooms. I want you to imagine that you have no body whatsoever. None. I want you to imagine that you have completely separated from your physical form, and that you're floating down a hall. Floating. You have no physical form whatsoever, and you are absolutely elevated, almost to the ceiling, maybe to the sky, maybe back just above the floor. You are weightless. And as you're floating down the hall, you find yourself floating right through a doorway into a room on the right. And you feel absolutely light-filled. It is beautiful. You are floating over a bed of the most gorgeous flowers. And it is truly a bed of velvet grass beneath you. And you just float right down into the grass. It is luscious, soft as velvet. And the fragrant flowers around you and the sound of water, spiritual sweetness, begins to play in the background. It is absolutely gorgeous, beautiful. And you begin to listen to Teresa's words, that spiritual sweetness pours into your system spontaneously. The divine comes to visit when you least expect it, but you must be open, not through expectations, simply because you say to God, I'm open. I am open to receive you. Just like receiving water, the sensation of mystical water begins to flow from the top of your head through this weightless body, and you feel this sensation taking you over as if it's just rushing through you with absolute delight, flushing out any sort of debris, weightlessness and water, combining the two, flushing out, it is the effortless effort. You've never felt such a sensation. There is no block in your body at all. You are hollow. You are empty. You are weightless, and the water flushes through you as if you were a hollow reed. Such a sensation is lightness like you have never felt. The water is crystal. Absolute crystal, and all physical pain is dissolved, all emotional, all mental, all stress, it's absolutely gone. There is nothing but blissful emptiness, and you are floating, beautifully, beautifully floating, in a sensation like you have never, ever known in your life. It is exquisite. Now, spend this time with God. Now pause and absorb the mystical lightness and feel the intimacy of the divine through your entire soul. And do not release that, but rather feel yourself releasing the room, but do not release the divine. And feel yourself floating out of the room, fully, fully embracing God. This is a room you return to many, many times. This is your room of mystical water. Amen. Continue now. We're going to float down our hall. We are not going to touch the ground. We are going nowhere near the ground. And we float through a door on our left. And as we enter this room, the fragrance of roses is everywhere. Everywhere. But as we look, there is no ceiling on this room. There is none. And whoosh, up we go. Up we go into the heavens. We are surrounded by the night and the stars. We are surrounded completely by the force of the cosmos, and an embrace comes around us. The warmest, deepest embrace of God. Here is the cosmos. And a depth of love full to your heart. And your heart is crushed within the hand of God. And you are put directly into the bosom of the divine. And a question: will you become an instrument of my heart? And below you is the earth and all of humanity and all of the creatures. And you feel a shaft of light flow from God through this wide open hole in your chest. And as you look through, it is shattered, but there is a pulsation of grace. It is crystal. It is light-filled. It has opened a cavity in you, larger than the whole of your body. You are in the cavity of light. It is not in you. It is larger than the universe. Through this, you are looking at the earth and all that is life. It is better to love much than to think much. It is better to act than to ponder what to act. It is better to have the courage to reach out to touch one human being with love than to wonder what will they think if I touch them. It is better to recognize that light is flowing through your soul at all times, and to recognize it penetrates every word, every thought, every action. When you say, "Let healing flow through me to this person," it is done. When you say, "Let peace flow into this person," it is done. Let peace flow into me. It is given. Let love flow into me. That is a given. It is better to love than to think about love. The mystical force shattering you. You as container. Feel that embrace with the divine. You are one with God. Hovering within the universe. Hold the earth in your hands and feel yourself as God returns you to this room. And your soul is returned to this sanctuary of mystical love and the heart of the sacred. This is your room to go for nurturing when your heart becomes too heavy, when your heart becomes too full, when you need to tap into that precious energy of the heart of the sacred. This is a sanctuary where you need to come and pray often. This is your holy place within your heart. Amen. And now, I want you to feel lightness as you go to the final room in your fourth mansion. I want you to perceive at the end of the hall a beautiful golden door, a beautiful light-filled door. Move through that door, and in the interior is an exquisite chapel, an exquisite holy sanctuary. You are lightness. You are shed of your reptiles. You are fully present. And in this beautiful, beautiful place, you are to receive messages from the divine. There's no work to do in here. If you are filled with a question, if you need guidance, then release that now. Release that request. And feel the guidance come through your soul, not through your mind. Receive. Say, I block nothing. I am fully surrendered. Release that force and say, change any part of my life that you need to change. Even as I say this prayer, change my life. Even as I, in this quiet chapel within my soul, open myself to receive any guidance that I must hear at this point, I surrender. What needs to be taken from my life, or what needs to be given? Perhaps it is time for me to love someone. Perhaps you are going to send me someone to love who needs to be loved deeply, and I am ready to love deeply. Perhaps you are going to call me to a place that needs the quality of love that can flow through me now. I am ready. Be receptive now. And in this sacred place, let the feeling, the presence of the divine fill you. Be still and know that you are with God. Feel that grace move through you, to those you love, to those you do not love. and to the greater sphere of humanity. You are a channel for grace. And now take a deep breath in with great gratitude. Release the prayer, I am always present to this light and to this guidance. Amen. And now as we prepare to leave the fourth mansion, focus on the exit prayer. I am a channel of grace. As I leave the fourth mansion, grace surrounds me and grace protects me. I enter my life under the blessing of God and I remain open to receive guidance in my soul, safe within the grace-filled energy of my castle. Amen.